Will you turn to Romans chapter 12? And for you who are our guests, or if this is the first time you have tuned in touch, we are in a series of messages on spiritual gifts, and we are in the section that concerns motivational gifts. That is, what is the drive that drives us as a believer? So with this sixth motivational gift, if you'll look in Romans chapter 12, and remember that he says in verse 6, "And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let each exercise them." And how are they to exercise them? He says, "Exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Mercy," or service rather, "in his serving. Teaching in his teaching. Exhorting in his exhortation. He who gives with liberality. And he who leads with diligence. He who shows mercy with cheerfulness." And we're on number 6, and that is leading, or as one translation says, administration. Another says, not only leading, but ruling. And so we're talking about the gift of administration or the gift of ruling. Now, let me show you two or three things here before we start with these characteristics. The word, the Greek word here, proistomi, means one who stands out front. And therefore, the very idea that this person is one who stands out front would give us an indication of some things that would be true of this person, and also some things that may bring about misunderstandings. Now, probably the two people who are most misunderstood of all the gifts, maybe in a derogatory way, are the prophet and the ruler, because of their responsibility and oftentimes because of the way they come across. But whether it's in a home or a business or any civic organization, you need someone there who has the gift of organization. As we said before, there's a difference in a talent and an ability with which a person is born and a spiritual gift of organization or ruling. And we discussed that and won't take time to discuss that again. We're talking about believers who, upon their salvation, have received the gift of administration or ruling or leading, as he describes here. So I want us to look at these characteristics and remember this. This ruling or organization doesn't mean some business out in the world. It means every facet of our life. Now remember this, that all of us, because we're believers, we are believers sent back into our vocations to do what? Live out the Christian life. You see, it's the world that says it's secular here, spiritual here. Mm-mm. For the believer, it's spiritual everywhere. He says, "You and I have been saved with the grace of God, the Holy Spirit living within us, that you and I have become salt and like light to those about us." So we are first believers. We are first Christians. We are that above and before any and everything else, so that we can't separate in our life or segment our spiritual life and our secular life. Mm-mm. No, you and I are spiritual beings inhabited by the Lord Jesus Christ, so that wherever we are, there is something spiritual going on. First of all, an ability to see the big picture and visualize the final results of a major undertaking. Now listen. You can describe or characterize the person with the gift of organization as a dreamer in action. It's one thing to be able to dream. It's something else to be able to dream and to put those dreams into practice. Here's a person who's able to see the big picture. And listen, they not only see the big picture, but they are able to visualize the big picture as what? Already having been accomplished and completed. And that's the key, I believe, to goal setting. Being able to see it as already done, the final results of a major undertaking. And when a person is able to do that, they're able to accomplish because they have a sense of direction. It's one thing to think about what may be possible and what could be done. It's something else to be able to visualize the finished product and how that finished product is going to come to pass. Secondly, an ability to break down the major goals into smaller, achievable tasks. And that is, here's a person who is able to see that all things are possible because, as somebody says, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? The person with the gift of organization, they are never discouraged by the size of the task. Because in their mind, what do? Immediately, they begin to calculate and break it down. It may be so large, but they begin to break it down, and finally they can see what a bite size is. If I take a bite, you take a bite, she takes a bite, he takes a bite, we can absorb the whole thing in a matter of time. That person is able to see not only the big picture, but they're able to see that broken down into smaller, achievable tasks. Now, let me say this, because all of these areas are applicable to all of us. There was a couple in this church about 3 years ago who were here one Sunday evening series I had on setting goals for your life. Just some basic scriptural principles, and I laid out. I don't know who else did it, but that couple at that time was in debt, way in debt. They got the message, they got those principles down, went away, fasted, prayed, asked God how to show them to set goals, how to break them down in smaller parts. They committed themselves to accomplishing those goals, and I want to tell you, God has blessed them financially in the most unbelievable way, simply because they listened, they believed what they heard, they applied the principles, they set the goals, they broke them down, they committed themselves together as husband and wife, and God has blessed them in the most unusual way. Now listen to me. That can happen to anybody and everybody who has the wisdom to listen, the faith to believe, and the courage to apply. It may not be money, it may be something else in your life, but what I want you to see is this. The idea surrounding the person who has the gift of administration, so much of that is so extremely important and applicable to every single one of our lives. Setting goals for your family, setting goals for your business, seeing it in the smaller parts, being willing to apply whatever's necessary to bring that to pass. Don't relegate that to somebody else. That's applicable to all of us if we'll simply apply the principle. Here's the problem. The problem with most believers today is they hear divine, supernatural truth from the Word of God, go out and tell their pastor at the front door, wonderful sermon, pastor, just bless my heart, and never make application of a single solitary principle God has shown them, and then they wonder why God doesn't bless them any more than He does. The reason He doesn't is that He can't bless them when they are violating a spiritual principle. And I'm saying to you, my friend, what I want to share with you today, God can change your family, your business, your life, everything about you if you're willing to apply it. Because, listen, we're talking about what drives the person with the gift of administration. But the same truths are applicable in every single one of our lives. We're just driven by something different, but the principles are the same. All right, watch number three. A motivation to organize that for which he's responsible. A person has the gift of organization, they're self-starters. You know the kind of folks you have to pry out of bed in the morning and sort of help them get along, and 3 hours later you're still having to push them in the business. Listen, a person with the gift of administration is a self-starter. You show them the goal, and you know what happens? They start kicking up dust. They want to get on with getting the job done because they are motivated by showing them the big picture. What motivates the person of gift, well, the gift of organization, is watching those parts begin to fall in place. But brother, when they see the parts falling in place and that they can have a part in that, they get motivated and get moving. Number four, an ability to know what resources are available and needed to reach a goal. A person, watch this, a person who is able to see the goal, whether it's a family goal, business goal, church goal, a person who's able to see that goal is likewise very sensitive to what is available to help get that goal done. Whether it's the resources of people, the resources of money, the resources of time, knowledge, ability, talent, gifts, whatever it might be, as soon as that person sees the goal, they begin to be sensitive to all the possibility of resources. Now listen, here's the thing you have to remember about this person, which ought to be true of all of us. The one thing this person doesn't need is any negativism. Don't tell this person, well, here's the reason it can't be done. You show this person the goal, they get sensitive to all the possibilities. They don't want to hear why it can't be done. They want to hear the ways it can be, but not the reasons it can't be. Now listen, the thing about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ today that's hanging it up is we got churches today who are full of people who can tell you 1,000 reasons why we can't do it. If you listen to the negatives, people tell you why it can't be done, this won't work, that won't work, this never has been done, you can't do this. I want to tell you, my friend, that really hangs up the person, the gift of administration, because while they've already got the thing moving, somebody else is sitting over here saying, well, let's talk about why it can't be done. Give me a positive committee or don't give me any committees at all, because if they're negative, we'll have it two-thirds done before they decide it can't even be done. God is looking for positive people who are willing to believe and trust Him and trust in His resources and the person with the gift of administration. He's put those people in the fellowship to do what? To keep us reminded of the fact that, listen, it's not what we cannot do because we're not doing it. It is what can God do when we check out the resources as God makes provision. All right, look if you will, number five. An ability to know what can and cannot be delegated. This person knows how to find the people who can do it. Now listen, to know what can be delegated and what cannot be delegated. Let me ask you a question. Why would a person with the gift of organization delegate anything? Give me some reasons now. Why would they delegate anything? All right, involve other people, save time, what else? Free them to keep the big picture in mind and to keep guidance, what else? What's that? All right, teach others. Let me tell you one of the reasons, because one of the misunderstandings in the person with this gift is that they appear to be egotistical and going to do it all. One of the reasons a person with the gift of administration delegates is because some things they don't know how to do. So they have to delegate it. Why do you and I delegate anything? There's some things we can do but should not do. There's some things we don't know how to do, and there are capable, skilled, talented, gifted people out there who are experts, who are skilled and talented and experienced in that area. Why should a person have to learn how when here's a resource of someone who knows how to do it much, much better? The person with the gift of administration knows how very, very important it is to understand what can, what should, and what should not be delegated. Number six, a tendency to remove himself from detracting details in order to focus on the ultimate goals. Now listen, in accomplishing anything, whether it's in your home or in your business or whatever it might be, in accomplishing anything, somebody has to keep the big picture in mind. Somebody has to be sure we're all heading in the right direction and that all the parts, your part here, this part here, that all of this is fitting into the big whole, lest this part become the major operation. No, we must see it all as one whole moving in a given direction to accomplish a task. Now that's true in your home. You set goals and what you agree is he's going to do this and she's going to do that and I'm going to do this, and so we just move in that direction. A person who has the gift of administration is able to detach themselves from the details in order to keep the big picture in mind and to be sure that the whole operation is functioning harmoniously and in unity and in oneness in order to accomplish the big goal, because that's what they have in mind. All right? If you'll notice number seven, a willingness to endure reaction. Now, a person who has the gift of administration must also have been born spiritually with rhinoceros hide. That is very, very tough skin. Because what do we say the very word here for administration is? Proistemi, which means one who stands out front. When an infantry goes into battle, who gets shot at first? The folks who are out front. Not the general who's back in headquarters. The man on the front line is the fellow who gets most of the flak. Now listen to me. The person who has the gift of administration who's walking in the Spirit is going to get flak. The person who has the gift of administration who's not walking in the Spirit is going to get more flak. But they're going to get it either way, because that's just part of the responsibility of management. For example, wherever you may, wherever your vocation is involved and wherever you serve and wherever you work, you may have a boss or an overseer, a manager, whoever it might be, and sometimes he tells you things and sometimes you think they're right, you do them. Sometimes you think they're wrong. If you're smart, you still do them, but you keep on doing it. Now, if the person who is leading goes around and checks out everybody's opinion, don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, want to be sure everybody understands, don't do anything till everybody's on board, don't want in any way hurt anybody, I want to tell you something. There's not much in life that I know of that'll ever be accomplished. You've got to be able to see the goal, move in that direction, carry as many people as you possibly can with you. obediently, humbly before God, but you cannot listen to every negative thing you hear, because most of us hear far too much negative of why God can't do, why He won't do, why this won't work. God isn't interested in that. He didn't say the Great Commission is to sit down. He said the Great Commission is to evangelize the world, which means thrust and moving forward. And there are churches dying on the vine all over this country because they've got negative people in leadership who are not willing to believe God because they want to be sure they don't hurt anybody's feelings. Well, listen, I've had my feelings hurt, haven't you? And let me tell you something else. We're going to keep on getting them hurt as long as we're out front doing God's work until finally the feelings become less sensitive. You want to be divinely sensitive, but not so sensitive that you won't be willing to endure the flak when the shells get to flying. What difference does it make if you're obeying God and accomplishing His task? So you see, that person's going to get flak. So if you see somebody who has that gift getting a lot of flak, what you need to do is encourage them that there's more than just flak flying. There is faith flying. There is gratitude flying. There's thanksgiving flying. Hang in there, buddy. Do what God tells you to do. Now, if they're in the flesh, that's something else. But we're talking about somebody walking in the Spirit. Now, number 8, a need for loyalty and confidence from those who are being directed and served. Now listen, the person, when we get to the positive and the negative, that is the spiritual and the carnal side of this person, when you get to the spiritual side, one of the things that's evident in that person is loyalty. That is, they are loyal and they demand loyalty. That is, the person who's leading and who is involving all these people and accomplishing whatever it might be, that person has to be loyal. And that person likewise expects loyalty. And when a person has a gift of administration or leading, finds disloyalty, they're grieved in their heart. Grieved in their heart because disloyalty means to them that this section of the work more than likely will not be done well. And therefore, because they are most gratified by seeing all the pieces come together, if there's a major piece over here that's missing, that person can become very upset because they see that the goal is in danger. Not so much for them personally, but the objective is in danger. All right, if you'll notice in number 8, 9 here, a tendency to assume responsibility if no structured leadership exists. Now watch this. Here's what happens when a person has the gift of leadership or ruling or organization. And let's say you've got 7 people in a group. And there's a need, and the gift of mercy says, oh goodness, we just need to pray. Poor thing, God needs to do something. The gift of service says, well, I'm ready. You show me what to do. The gift of prophecy says, well, they shouldn't have gotten in that mess to begin with. The gift of teaching says, well, now here are the facts. Here's the truth. Here's what really happened. The gift of exhortation says, I believe there's some simple steps to work this situation out. The person with the gift of organization is sitting there waiting. And if nobody else rises to take responsibility, the gift of administration will step forward to say, well, now, if all this is true, and you folks are willing to do what you say you do, then I'm willing to assume leadership if necessary. Now, what would that naturally bring from some other folks? Ego. Who put you in charge? Who said you knew how to do it? But you see, that person doesn't usually run to the front. They sort of sit back and wait. And if nobody's going to take the leadership, they can't wait but so long. They just sort of have to get in there and sort of get things together. So sometimes they're misunderstood by that. But on the other hand, you need someone who's willing to be the hub, someone who's willing to be the front person to get out there, keep their eye on the goal, and keep things moving in the right direction. All right, number 11, a desire to complete tasks as soon as possible. Now watch this. The person with the gift of organization, here's their attitude. Accomplish this as orderly as possible, as well as possible, and as quickly as possible. A person with a gift of organization has a desire to do it well, to do it rapidly. A person who has the gift of organization is conscious of time, they're conscious of their stewardship, They're conscious of the mean or the order in which they do it. And you see, the truth is that all of us should live ordered lives. The person with the gift of organization, you know what they want to see? They want to see all the parts fitting together, all the parts coming together. Look at number 10. I think I must have missed that one. A joy and fulfillment in seeing all the parts come together and others enjoying the finished product. Watch this. You know where they get their greatest sense of enjoyment? For example, if it's a business, it's not in making money. As a fellow said to me some time ago, he said, listen, he says, I never think about making money. He says, I think about completing the task. I think about accomplishing the goal. I think about where I am at this particular time. Where am I in the schedule? How many more parts need to fit together? Do we have all the resources? Are they coming together? Listen, the person with the gift of organization, they get their greatest joy not in people's applause and praise, but in the satisfaction of seeing the big picture, all the parts coming together perfectly, fitting together, and then, listen, and then seeing other people's joy over the finished product. That's what brings them the greatest sense of contentment, seeing it come together. And that's why every organization needs someone who keeps driving till it's put together. All right, back to number 12. A desire to move on to a new challenge when a previous task is fully completed. Now listen, when that person has orderly and rapidly gone about the task systematically and they see it accomplished, as soon as that job gets done, you know what they're thinking about? They're thinking about the next task. That's the way to keep things moving and progressing. When you get this done, then what's the next goal? Set the next goal. Listen, I believe that people who set goals and live to accomplish those goals, I mean God-given goals, I believe by natural tendency, they're going to live longer. Listen, I've seen people, for example, I called a fellow in our fellowship this week, and I asked him, I said, how long have you been retired? He said, well, he said, my wife doesn't think I'm retired. He said, because she sees me less now than she did before I retired. He is so busy serving the Lord, telling me what he was doing. I got so excited. I thought, now, Lord, here's a fellow who's going to live to be 100. Well, what about the misunderstandings of this fellow? By the way, this is not my gift. But I'd certainly like to think some of these qualities are in my life and in your life and all of us. What about the misunderstandings? Number one. The ability to delegate responsibility may appear as laziness in avoiding work. Now, if a person is a good manager, they're not going to try to do it all. They're going to try to involve as many people as possible, as many people as are necessary to bring all the resources together to get the job done. So, sometimes that person may be misunderstood and say, well, they're not doing the job. They're just getting us to do it. And I don't want to be used. Let me ask you a question. Well, let's move on down. Number two, the willingness to endure reaction may appear to be callous. Now, the person has to have a tough skin because they can't please everybody. There's no way to please everybody. And so they may appear to be insensitive, tough skin, don't care. It isn't that they don't care. It isn't that they're not sensitive sometimes. It isn't that they are totally callous to other people's feelings. It's just the fact. Then listen, if somebody's out here drowning, you don't argue over what color of life raft you throw to them. You just throw them the one that'll get them in. And the people who are negative and want to criticize, they have the problem oftentimes. All right, number three. The neglect in explaining why tasks must be done may prompt workers to feel like they're being misused. Now watch this carefully. Two things I want to say about that. Somebody says, well, one thing I don't want to feel is somebody's using me. Let me ask you a question. You ever told God that? God uses every one of us, and most folks I know are praying for God to use them. And you see, people who are saying, oh, God, use me. I want to be used. God, listen, you know what he's waiting for? He's waiting for you to get up. He'll use you. If you get fit to be used, he'll use you. Listen, being misused, I'm sure I've been used by other people. Doesn't bother me a bit in the world. As long as I know God's getting his work done, I could care less.
As long as I know somebody's going to be saved and God's going to change somebody's life, what do I care about being used? You see, I don't want to be used.
Let me ask you a question. If it's to accomplish a task that pleases and honors God, aren't all of us expendable? We really are. We're all expendable. None of us have anything so valuable that we're not expendable to the glory of God. You know what happens when you say, I don't want anybody using me? Depends on what the task is. Now, I know sometimes you can be misused in the wrong way, but when it comes to getting the Lord's work done, when it comes to people coming together in a family, my father just uses me. Is that right? Well, my children just use me. Well, I'm sure maybe sometimes they do. But you know what? A wise dad knows how to take even when he's used and turn it into something super wonderful. Listen, if you're worried about getting used, I'm going to tell you, you're focusing on the wrong thing. You are focusing on old fleshly what? Self. That's all. So what if somebody uses us? What we have to ask is, what's happening? And I'd be happy for the Lord to use me or anybody else to use me in any way possible. If he would just get his work done, that's all that matters. Just that God get his big picture put together. So don't let that get you out of sorts and say, well, I don't like being used and somebody's just using me for their own. And I'm sure, listen, think about this. Is Romans 8:28 true? Amen. Then if somebody uses you, is not God going to take their wrong motivation? What's he going to do? He's going to bring it right back round to you and bless you for your submission, even when you were being misused. Here's the thing you and I have got to remember in this life, that God, his whole spiritual economy works this way. God knew when he established this world that Adam would fall in the garden. He knew we were going to blow it from every angle, that people are going to live in sin, that Christians are going to have a heart. He knew all about that. So what did he do? He gave us Romans 8:28. And that's our continuing confidence that it makes no difference whether you're misused, abused, whatever it might be, that sovereign almighty God, who is indeed our God, is going to turn that to our good every single time. Listen, he says he is faithful. He never fails. He says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And if I'm walking through a valley and I'm being used and I'm being misused and I'm being abused, I've got to believe the sovereign God who knows me by name, knows every hair upon my head, who knows past, present, and future, who's guiding and directing my life and allowing me to go through the valley. He knows that the valley experience is going to turn out to my good and to God's glory. So I don't have to live a negative, complaining life. Somebody's misusing me. Listen, did you know that God put this thing together? When you see God's picture, he's got this whole thing. And listen, you know who's winning? We're winning. You know who's on the winning side? We're on the winning side. You know who can't lose? We can't lose. Whoever told us we could lose? When you've got Romans 8:28, there's no way to lose. I didn't say you wouldn't get hurt. I wouldn't say somebody wouldn't abuse you and misuse you. I wouldn't say sometime you wouldn't fall flat on your face and get drugged through the mud. I said you'll win. Ultimately, God Almighty says you'll win, then you'll win. All right, move on if you will. Number four, the viewing of people as resources may appear that projects are more important than people. And that is a misunderstanding because, you see, the goal, whatever that goal may be, and because people are involved, you say, well, the most important thing is not people here. The most important thing in life is people. But let me ask you a question. What are God's resources on this earth? God's resources on this earth for him to work his will as people. He has air. He has water. He has energy. He has landmass. He has all that there is in this life. But what is it that he uses to accomplish his task? What he uses, he uses people. We are God's great living dynamic resource on earth to accomplish the will of God. All right? Then the desire to complete the task swiftly may appear to be insensitivity to the schedule, weariness, or priorities of others. Now listen, somebody says, well, I'm tired. You don't care about how I feel?
The question is not how you feel. The question is, listen, is the objective worthy of the sweat, blood, and tears of getting it done? Do you know what the problem is with most Americans, I'm afraid? And maybe this little problem of recession we're having is going to help us out a little bit. We need to get our whole vision lifted of what's important in life. What's really important? What's really important? Weariness and the priorities of workers? What's important? We just say, Lord, what does it take? What do you want us to do? What does it take? Here am I, Lord. Could you ever come out a loser, my friend, obeying God? Absolutely no way. You see, my heart just pounds on the inside because I want for you the best. And you see, the worst thing that you can possibly do as a believer is settle for less than your God-given capacity. That is sin from God's point of view. Here's what I want to ask you, my friend, with all of my heart. What in this world are you doing with God's gift to you? And you see, I can't answer that. All I can do is ask you, but I can tell you one thing. I believe that God, everything in me says that God is up to something big and He's trying to get this outfit moving. And this outfit includes me and every single one of you. God wants to do something. He wants to get the pulse beat of this thing moving. Because there are people dying all around us in this city and across the world who are dying going straight to hell. And I want to tell you, my friend, most of us have been so blessed. If God didn't bless most of us, the rest of our lives, we'd live to be 100, we'd be far more blessed than we'd ever deserve. And I want to ask you, what are you doing with the gift that God's given you? Well, let's look at this fellow because he has assets and he does have liabilities. How does the person respond when he's living in the Spirit who has the gift of organization, and how do they operate in the flesh? Well, now watch this. Seven words on both sides, the positive and the negative. So you want to jot these down. These are not in the bulletin. The person with the gift of organization, when they're walking in the Spirit, The first characteristic is orderly. That is, they are naturally going to go about their life in an orderly fashion because they're organized in their thinking. And they know to go about it orderly, they'll be able to do it quicker with a proper use of resources, and they'll be able to accomplish it much better. Secondly, initiative. They are self-starters. When they see the goal, they get to kicking up the dust. Let's get moving and get it going. They take the initiative. Number three, responsibility. They are willing to be responsible for that for which they have the authority to accomplish. Number four, humility. Now, here's where the person with the gift of organization rises or falls. A person with the gift of organization must have a submissive, humble spirit. They must have a submissive and humble spirit, motivating out of love, motivating out of loyalty, and not intimidating and domineering and dictating to others. All right? Decisiveness. This person must have the ability to make a decision at the crucial, critical time, strike while the iron is hot. The person with the gift of organization knows when the iron is hot, sensitive to it, and is willing to make a decision when it is very unpopular. Determination. They know what the goal is. They know what the resources are. Listen, the goal is worthy of the price. And listen, that's always the key. Listen to that. Is the goal worthy of the price you're going to have to pay? If you decide what the goal is, and the price and the goal is worthy, and you check out what it's going to cost, you make a decision. That goal is worthy of the price. Then you make a commitment. What do? You close the door on any other discussion, and you move and never turn back. You may have to have corrections in the middle somewhere, but you never lose sight of your goal. And then last of all, loyalty. And that is that person has a sense of loyalty to those with whom they work and likewise want the same in return. What a tremendous opportunity. But now look at old organization when he gets in the flesh, or when she gets in the flesh and not in the spirit. Their orderliness becomes disorganization. I mean, their minds can just be in disarray and totally disorganized. Can't put it together. Instead of having initiative, they're unaggressive. They lay back. They become apathetic, slothful. Instead of being responsible, they become unreliable. That's the next word, unreliable. You can't trust them. You can't depend on them. They say they will, maybe they will, maybe they won't. Instead of humility, pride, egotism, dictatorial, dogmatic, going to have it their way. And they lead by intimidation instead of love. And I want to tell you something. If you just want to turn folks off, lead them by intimidation and you'll turn them off. Jesus Christ never led by intimidation. He led by love. He motivated those disciples to want to do what he wanted them to do because, listen, he could show them the goal. The person has the gift of organization who is able to see the goal is going to take time to show that goal, to paint the picture of the goal, and to describe it, its value, its price, its cost, and then is able to motivate other people to get in on the blessing of moving toward the accomplishment of that goal. But I want to tell you something. That person, when they are in the flesh, turn people off, drive people away, instead of motivating them, negating every single possible thing. When this person gets in the flesh and they're out leading, then friend, they have a very, very, very difficult problem to overcome. If that happens to be your goal, you remember, if that happens to be your gift, you remember how very important it is that you keep a humble spirit and you walk in the spirit and not in the flesh. Or instead of accomplishing, you will destroy all the resources around you which you have at your disposal in order to accomplish that job. All right? Instead of decisiveness, double-mindedness. Well, I think so, maybe so, not quite sure, back and forth. Instead of determination, faint-heartedness. They see the obstacles, and instead of determinedly moving along, they become fearful, they get sidetracked, they lose their sense of confidence and assurance, and the whole thing can tumble down. Instead of being loyal, they become unfaithful. Unfaithful to support those with whom they work, unfaithful to support those who are a vital part of the resources of accomplishing the task. A person with a gift of organization has a tremendous potential. Listen to me, a tremendous potential when walking in the Spirit. One of the most devastating when they're walking in the flesh. Would you stand quietly? Father, we thank you and praise your holy name for your goodness and love and mercy toward us, that not only would you give us life, but you would give us those spiritual gifts through which, by which, and in which we could live our lives productively, fruitfully, whether a homemaker in her home taking care of her husband and her children, whether a man in his vocation giving leadership and direction to those under him, whether a man in his own private business that just has one employee, and that's himself, or whether a student in school, in a social life, in a church life, wherever it might be, you have equipped each and every single one of us. And Lord, my heart's plea, the burden of my soul, the burden of my spirit today is, God, move this fellowship. Stir us. Move us. And God, I believe you're putting the motivation into us. I believe that you're giving us the truth. I believe that you're bringing it before us week after week. I believe you're trying to say something. And Father, my heart's desire before you today is that, Lord, we would have ears that would be open, sensitive to the leadership that you've given us. And I pray that we will indeed be obedient to all that you call us to do. Give us the spirit of Isaiah. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Lord, where wilt thou have me to go? Here am I, Lord, send me. Father, give us that kind of spirit. No reservations, throwing away, dumping all the negatives, forgetting all the criticisms, but committed to you that your perfect will be done in our life, in that of our precious family, in our business, in our church life,
Wherever you send us, Father, we want to be living, walking, dynamic examples of obedience to God. And Father, we pray that you'll take anything and everything out of our life. I mean, strip us of anything and everything that would in any way keep us from walking in absolute obedience to you. And Father, as a fellowship, as well as individuals and families, thank you for loving us. And Lord, all I can tell you today is I know what you placed on my heart, and I can't say anything more than I've said. I'm trusting you to convey to the people who are listening today. You're trying to say something to them. Oh God, don't let them walk away or turn it off without heeding what they've heard today is my prayer in Jesus' name.